Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and I am without Mike Salmon today, my normal co-host, but I'm pleased to welcome a special guest co-host, an old pal of mine, Jeff Smith. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, John. Thank you for asking me to be here. Y'all have done a wonderful job, and I know Mike is probably sitting at home right now listening. Just hope I don't mess up everything he has built up here inside the studio.
I think Mike's out playing, so we're working, and we're trying to, you know, along with our producer, Trey Odom, we're trying to hold this thing together, so thanks for helping me do that.
Yeah, now,
let's talk about it a little bit briefly for those that don't know you. You're with Assurance Financial. Tell everybody about your day job real quickly.
Well, I'm a mortgage banker, so essentially I help people find money so that they can buy a home, and what I like to tell people is, I do my job right, what I try to do is just bring happy clients to the closing table. And that's what we do at Assurance Financial.
I love it. I love it. And you've been on our show as a guest. So thanks for coming back and being in the host chair. And we'll see if Mike still has a job next week.
Yeah,
who knows? He may fire me.
Look out, Mike.
And it's Mike and Jeff next week, but we'll see what happens, right? So anyway, but on to welcome three great guests. I want to welcome Bruce Wing from Strategic Wealth. We're going to talk to Renee Barnes from ComplyTrain and Andrew Walker from Brady Ware and Company. But first, let's talk with Bruce. Bruce Wing from Strategic Wealth. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming on. And tell us a little bit about Strategic Wealth and who you are and what you do.
Strategic Wealth is a firm that I founded more than 20 years ago. We're a wealth management firm catering primarily to business owners. Most of our clients are in the Southeast as well as California. We started with kind of a estate planning, business planning focus, and increasingly do more and more tax planning work these days.
Sure. So taxes are obviously important. We'll get to some of that hopefully here in a little bit, but one of the things I see in the show notes about your company is you talk about having a values-driven process. Tell us about that.
Well, we do. It's interesting for those that kind of come into the financial planning world in that you start doing work around investments and insurance and what have you, and it's very much a business relationship, but over time, you become friends with your clients. And increasingly as a firm and as we've matured as a firm, what our clients tell us their three biggest worries are. Number one, it's around money. Number two, it's around kids and affluenza. And number three, it's around feeling like, as we all get older, whether we're actually making a difference in the world. And as a result of that, we've actually created an entirely new process that we engage with clients that, at the end of the day, it helps clients answer the question, why? You know, we all want to be millionaires or billionaires. Why? What do you really want to do with that? What difference do you want to make in the lives of your children and your community, et cetera? So we get into a lot of discussion with clients to help them answer those questions and then create plans that actually let them execute on those values.
Hey, Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah, I work with a lot of different financial advisors, and you know, it's not often that I hear a financial guy talk about cash flow, expenses, and taxes instead of just bragging about investment returns. Why do you take that approach?
Well, when it comes to your own financial affairs and so forth, there are really kind of three types of money, right? There's the money that you've saved and accumulated. There's the money that you would spend to maintain your lifestyle, et cetera. But there's a third type of money, and I call it transferred money. And it's the money that kind of goes outside or out the back door that you don't even realize. And that money will absolutely eat you up. And it's clearly taxes are an element of that. Interestingly, Jeff, it's the way mortgages and debt are structured, whether interest is deductible or not deductible. It's the way qualified plans are handled. It's other tax deductions. It's insurance, all of those elements. And by us capitalizing on helping people focus on that expense element to the degree that we can reduce those transfers, that's money that can come right back into your cash flow that can either enhance your lifestyle money or be put back into the accumulated bucket. And over time, it's been our experience that that is what helps people really build wealth, managing cash flow.
Well, that's good to hear. That's very refreshing that you take such an interest in their personal lives. And so now getting to something else that's big in the news, I know that you've spoken around the country about federal debt. And given the new tax law that's just passed, what do you see happening there?
You know, it's an interesting thing. Right now, well, actually, let me take us back a few years. If you remember back in the Great Recession and around that time, everyone was talking about the national debt. And interestingly, today, almost no one is, either party. We're round numbers, $21 trillion in debt as a federal government. We've got a gross domestic product of around $19 trillion, 19 and a half, something in that neighborhood. We have a government that's taking in round numbers about $3.4 trillion in tax receipts, but spends about $4 trillion every year. So we're $600 billion in the hole in federal spending every single year. The debt's just getting bigger. Neither party cares. Nobody cares. The fact is, at the same time, we want to get growth going in the country. And that was a big driver of this new tax bill, trying to find a way to get growth. At the corporate level, the United States does have one of the highest tax bills or tax rates in the world. Round numbers, it's at 35% at the high end. Not everybody's paying at that level, but that's it. In the U.S., we're paying around 23, 24% on average, but the rest of the world is at 18. So what Trump wanted to do was lower tax rates to make our large companies more competitive around the world. And now we've got taxes down at 21% of the corporate level. To get that negotiated through Congress, he also had to make some changes on the personal income tax side. So we still have seven brackets, but at the high end, taxes went from round numbers 40% to 37%. We have some changes with respect to that, though, in terms of you now can only deduct up to $10,000 total for your state and local property taxes. That's it. That will be very problematic for clients that live in high tax states, particularly California, New York, New Jersey, et cetera. Georgia's not as much, but there are plenty of people that are paying more than $10,000 in property taxes in Georgia. So it won't be any fun. Am I answering your question, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we were looking to hear, that and more.
Yeah, I'm excited about that cheery news about the federal debt. But anyway,
right.
We're speaking with Bruce Wing. Bruce is the owner and advisor with Strategic Wealth. And so, Bruce, we can't solve the federal debt problem. We've already established the politicians don't care. So let's talk about the bottom line to us as business owners, right? We have business owners as listeners. Talk about what they need to be paying attention to, what they need to be talking to their trusted advisors about.
Well, as a business owner myself, let's just start, gosh, when you're setting up a business, broadly speaking, you got two choices. You're going to be a business entity that pays its own taxes, otherwise known as a C corporation, or you're going to be a pass-through, whether that's an S-corp or a limited liability company or a partnership or what have you. You got those kind of two broad categories. Mm-hmm. The government, in having just lowered C-corporation taxes from a high of roughly 35 down to 21, means that C-corporations are going to be something that business owners are definitely going to want to look at, because there's a real advantage in some sense to saving money and saving cash in a C-corporation rather than a pass-through. Just by way of example, just to make the math simple, imagine you got $1 million of profit. And
I like the way he talks.
Yeah.
I like that imagination. Thanks, Bruce.
That's it. You got $1 million of profit. Mm-hmm. If you're in a pass-through entity, you're going to be taxed. Again, I'm making the math simple. 37%. So you're going to pay $370,000 of that profit in taxes if you're a pass-through. If you're a C corporation, you're going to pay $210,000. That $160,000 difference is a big deal. And if you're looking to buy equipment or maybe buy a piece of property, et cetera, that C corporation can let you do it. There's some pros and cons with this that get a little complicated that I don't want to go into here, but that's a big deal. At the other end of the spectrum, if you are a pass-through entity, the government, under this new tax law, just gave us all a really nice 20% new deduction that didn't exist before. That's a big deal. Unfortunately, though, for some business entities or owners, that 20% deduction is limited. And it's limited to people that are in what is known as skilled professions. It's kind of a poor title, but people in my profession, accountants, doctors, consultants, et cetera, are the ones that are limited by this. And if you've got an income basically above $315,000, married, filing jointly, that deduction goes away for you. And the way to manage that is really to try to look at maybe starting to create separate business entities within your own business. So that if you're a doctor and you're billing patients, et cetera, you could actually create a separate business entity that just handles the billing. You could try to drive a lot of your profit that way. And now you're no longer subject to that limitation, to that 20% deduction. That's a big deal. What is particularly good news, though, is that all of those tax credits that were there in 2017 are, for the most part, still there. The research and development tax credit for anybody that's involved in a technology business is still there. The sub-element to that, which is the startup R&D tax credit, which lets you use that tax credit against payroll taxes, even if you're not making any profit, that is still there. That's big. There are still the same advantages today that were there yesterday to audit. You know, if you own commercial property and you're paying big property tax bills, I can't tell you how much money we've saved clients by auditing those tax bills, by basically going to the tax assessor and just saying, man, you're valuing our property too high. And let's revalue it. And you can save thousands of dollars by doing those things.
So lots to talk to your advisor about. You've given us a lot to think about, Bruce. And for those that may be interested and want to know more, how do they be in touch with you?
Well, you can reach us at 678-456-5060. That's the office number. You can find us on the web at www.strategic-wealth.com.
Great. Bruce Wing, Strategic Wealth, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, John.
Now, Jeff, are you tired and frustrated with stress in your business?
Well, I don't tell my clients that, but secretly, yes, John, I am.
That was a trick question, right? So if you are tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business, Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. They handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and workers' comp reporting, and more. They don't just process payrolls, they build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks, R-O-C-K-S, or call 404-410-0031. Proactive Payroll. Thank you for your support of North Fulton Business Radio. And I want to turn now to our next guest, Renee Barnes. Renee is with ComplyTrain. Hello, Renee. Welcome.
Hi, John. How are you?
Great. How are you? Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. Well, tell us about ComplyTrain. Tell us about you and tell us about your firm.
Absolutely. So ComplyTrain was founded to really help small businesses and startups deal with the issue of HR compliance. And a lot of times, larger companies have a legal team and an HR department to help them navigate the waters. ComplyTrain helps the smaller guys have that same protection. And so my background is about 20 years in learning and development and IT compliance and training. So I kind of take all of my experiences working with larger clients like Visa, Home Depot, Coca-Cola, to the smaller businesses that really need support in this area.
That's great. Now, okay, so let's get into it because it's the topic of the day, right?
Being
HR, which is sexual harassment in the workplace. So talk about that. Talk about how and whether small businesses and startups are equipped to deal with this issue.
Absolutely. So, John, you know, it is the hot topic, and we started ComplyTrain before it became a hot topic. And now that it is, businesses are really, really looking for solutions. So, yes, they're not equipped because a lot of times they don't have an HR person. And if they do, they're not knowledgeable about the latest laws, state and federal. So what's really key is that you have not only the HR policies, but you also have the legal standpoint in those policies so that you're protected in case something happens in your company.
Hey, Renee, what are the best strategies to begin to address HR compliance in your workplace?
It all starts with the policies, Jeff. That's the first key. Having that employee handbook with the right federal and state policies are vital to any small business and startup. So to just start there without Googling the policy and just downloading it, but getting it from a reliable source that has not only the HR component, but the legal component is really where you want to begin.
Well, so if I'm a small business, what HR policies should I have in place?
You definitely want to have a code of conduct. You want to have an anti-discrimination, anti-harassment policy. You want to have information security awareness. And you really want to make sure that you're covering your required state and federal policies. So some of those can be very specific to where you operate.
We're speaking with Renee Barnes. Renee is with ComplyTrain. And Renee, I mean, the compliance training, is that something that's really necessary? And talk about maybe what you do to make that really impactful, right? Because it's a lot of people go through training and they don't really get a lot out of it. It causes a lot of problems later, right?
Absolutely. That's a great question, John. So right now, compliance training is not really big in startups and small businesses because usually they can't afford to bring in a trainer. So what we do is kind of make that process more automated. We actually have the training online. And I think that's really important for smaller companies. What we don't do is kind of use these role plays that are not really applicable to real life because you walk away kind of feeling, it's not a big deal. It's kind of funny. No, it's a really serious issue, HR compliance. It can affect lives. So we really attack it from both an HR perspective. And we also have a legal guest in all of our training to kind of talk through some of the legal ramifications for employees and business owners.
Well, so talking about technology, How would you use technology? How does it play a role in something like sexual harassment?
It's very important. So for example, if you have these policies in place, and you say, hey, I gave this policy to that employee. They can say, well, I didn't read it because you don't have a signature that you can track using technology. You don't want to just have that paper trail. You want to have some sort of technology that tracks it. And if you train them using technology, you can track how long they took the training, if they passed the exam. And that goes a long way to say, my company has a culture that does not support this behavior. This person was a one-off. But we have equipped him or her beforehand. So it really helps, you know, mitigate a lot of your risks as a business owner.
Now, Renee, talk about your background, because you've got some heavy duty corporate background. Mm-hmm. and a lot of experience to bring to the table for small business owners.
Absolutely. So my background has been a consultant. And so I've consulted with Coca-Cola, Home Depot, Visa, Western Digital for 20 years. And with that, I've done a lot of ERP or IT projects and a lot of HR compliance projects as well. So I kind of mirror the two in a sense that the technology is there and the compliance programs. But corporate companies, large companies spend thousands on these compliance programs. They have the money to do it and it's a smart spend. But I find that small businesses sometimes neglect that because they're focused on their bottom line. They're focused on profit. And I had a small business owner really innocently make a huge mistake. And that's really kind of what kicked off ComplyTrain, because one of his recruiters was interviewing a candidate and said, you know, we're a young and hip startup, a great place to work. And the candidate felt like that's kind of an age dig on him. So he went to the EEOC and filed an age discrimination lawsuit because it says we're a young and hip startup. And when they investigated, there was no policies in place. There was no training in place. And they were hit with a very large fine because of that. So that really helped me to understand that, you know, a lot of people aren't equipped and they're sometimes making innocent mistakes, but they can be very costly.
Yeah. So talk about two or three the biggest mistakes that you see out there, besides talking about being young and hip. We won't make that mistake around here, but talk about a few things out there that you see that that business owners really need to pay attention to.
Neglecting HR compliance. A lot of times they don't think about it until there's an issue.
You mean like not having a handbook, maybe?
Not having a handbook, maybe downloading a handbook and kind of trying to make it fit your company as opposed to getting one custom for your company. That's huge. Not having some sort of training in place, because even if I reviewed the policy, I can say, well, I didn't understand that. That's a lot of legalese and I didn't get it. So having some sort of training that says, you understand the policy, you can let me explain how this works in layman's terms and sign here if you understand it or take this quiz. So I think those are the two major components that really are important. But the third one is reinforcement, because you don't want a yearly compliance program. You want monthly reinforcement to make sure people remember that this is key to my business.
Culture of compliance. That's pretty important. Talk about how you develop that when inside a company.
Absolutely, John. So like I mentioned, reinforcement, I think, is the key there. Making sure that you don't have this yearly program and it goes in and out of your mind. And now we're just focused on our day-to-day work, making sure that there's an open door policy, that everyone is clear what's expected and what's not only proper in my culture, but also legal, you know? So reinforcing that with consistent monthly, we call it mini lessons or monthly compliance bites, are really important. I think that helps you build that culture of compliance and keep that awareness at the forefront, so that you avoid these scandals and lawsuits and really damaging issues that can occur.
And I know, Renee, with some of the HR compliance stuff, sometimes I'm working all day and all of a sudden now I've got to look at, to do some HR compliance type stuff on the computer. Is there any way to take kind of the pain out of it or make it interesting or something like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great, great question. So that's what we endeavor to do. We don't want it to be a talking head or some long, lengthy session. We do really micro learning with ours and we avoid these kind of long drawn out, you know, modules.
Yes.
So it's really keeping everything straightforward, understanding your audience is adults and they're not looking to be talked down to, so just making it very conversational and engaging. So I think those are the keys there.
So Renee, talk about how business owners work with you. What's an engagement with you look like?
Basically, they just come over to complytrain.com. And when they sign up, we actually get an intake form so that we can understand their business. And we literally customize their policies and their handbook for them with our employment attorneys and our HR staff. So we kind of work together with our team. Then we actually load all of that in our platform. So it's all technology driven so that they can input their users, all the users take the policies, read and consent. And then we actually walk them through a training plan that's not all at once, but it's really gradual as they go throughout their year so that they can continue to maintain that focus.
It sounds like you've got quite a team behind that website. I mean, you know, I think that's sometimes people think startups and they think it's a pretty skeleton team, but it sounds like you've got quite a group of professionals behind the complytraining.com website.
Absolutely. It's a team effort and it's really strong partnerships that have built ComplyTrain.
Excellent. So for those that want more information, how do they be in touch?
Absolutely, John. So you go to complytrain.com or you can call us at 1-800-898-6835.
Renee Barnes, ComplyTrain, welcome. Oh, thanks again for being with us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it very much. I want to remind everyone that Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000 square foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video studio, a fantastic break room with outdoor patio, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com. Are you impressed with Digital Ignition, Jeff?
I thought I was walking into Mission Control over here. This is definitely a cool place.
They have got it going on here.
I'm feeling younger and hipper by the second.
Oh, there you go. Well, I think it's too late for me. But anyway, we'll just move on to our next guest, Andrew Walker, from Brady Ware & Company. Andrew Walker, Brady Ware & Company, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me here today, John.
So tell us a little bit about Brady Ware.
So Brady Ware is a full-service public accounting firm. We have about 150 professionals in four offices up and down the Eastern Seaboard. We have a unique group of industry experts that stem from the construction, technology, nonprofit, auto dealership, and long-term care facilities. What makes us a little different than other accounting firms in the area is our client experience. And we like to think that we deliver an exceptional client experience. And part of the way that we do this is through our teams of experts. In the Atlanta area, we have a great valuation and a capital unit that are very unique to our firm. And what our valuation team does is they have the ability to value intellectual properties. This can be a specific asset or an entire business in the software, aerospace, and professional services industry. And our capital unit can help you with mergers and acquisitions, whether you're trying to buy or sell your business. We can help you find money, help you find the sellers. We work on the premise of finding the right buyer or seller for your firm based on, you know, a management fit. And this can be as simple as finding the correct personalities that if you want to leave management in place with new ownership, it should look like it was before in order to have a successful business plan.
That sounds like great stuff there, Andrew. But there's a special expertise that you have, and it's in blockchain. We need to know what that's all about. So what is blockchain technology?
Well, blockchain is the latest technology to disrupt the marketplace. It's likely to transform the customer experience and the way that we do business as a whole. The blockchain, at its most basic level, is a distributed shared ledger technology that is incorruptible and decentralized. This technology has the same power to redefine business and global economics to the same level that the internet did back during the dot-com boom. That blockchain sounds like this really difficult to understand technology that, you know, everybody throws around with terms like Bitcoin and Ethereum and other cryptocurrencies. But really, we should think about it more as a technology to conduct business and not this power for a cryptocurrency. That to help ease the complication with blockchain, at its most simplified level, blockchain is just a technology, almost like a software, that allows us to conduct trade and other interactions directly peer-to-peer without the use of a middleman. That this is done by granting access to individuals on an on-demand basis that is then validated by other individuals that you've conducted business and transactions with in the past.
So if you could go into more detail, maybe with a specific trade, how exactly would that look? How specifically will it affect trade?
So an example I kind of like to give to people that's something that everyone can relate to. Everybody's bought a turkey before Christmas or Thanksgiving. Maybe we've walked into the store and we've wanted to buy, you know, a free range turkey. Well, they look about the same as the Butterball turkey sitting right next to it, and the price is about double. How do we really know that this free range turkey is in fact free range? Well, if a farm raised the turkeys using blockchain technology, we would have the power to track the turkey through its entire life cycle. That this would include when the turkey's fed, every point that it's transferred from one range to the next, all the way to delivery to the grocery store. And we could access this as the consumer in the grocery store by just simply scanning a QR code or pulling up the information in our latest app. And this information is validated by the vendors of the farm. So we know based on their experience that this information is correct and it's unable to be skewed in any way.
What an empowering thing for us consumers. It's almost like it turns us into automatic, very simply and easily, quality control managers for everything we buy. It's very interesting.
Absolutely.
Getting away from the turkey, let's talk about contracts and legal documents. How can blockchain optimize contracts and legal documents between parties?
So blockchain is kind of founded on this idea of smart contracts. Smart contracts allow users to enter into agreements with defined rules. And with the smart contract and the defined rules and this concept of validation by others, every point throughout the contract at which something has been completed, the contract is automatically moved to the next step. And this allows the users to know that the contract is being fulfilled and reduces the risk. That this could be, you know, seen in the healthcare environment, that healthcare could be kind of revolutionized a little bit, you know, the burdensome of filing with insurance and paying the doctor's bills, and you get three bills, but you only need to write one check. If they were using blockchain, that when you go to see the doctor, you could give them access to your private key. The health records would then automatically be updated, which you could retain, and any services would go directly to the insurance company without the need for the filing, that with your key that you're providing them, they have direct access to this information.
Okay, we're speaking with Andrew Walker with Brady Ware and Company. And Andrew, you had me up until you started talking about my private key and giving that information away. So now I have to ask, is this secure?
Yes, John, this absolutely is secure. That this whole notion of the network being decentralized is in part what makes it secure. And that if you think about blockchain as little cubes of blocks, we start with the first block, which is the genesis block. Every block thereafter looks back at the previous blocks. That if we store information on block two, it's going to check with block three and vice versa. And these blocks are interacting with each other through this kind of notion of hash. And hash is essentially a security key to keep in a roadmap to allow these blocks to look at one another. And as they copy, if anyone tries to disrupt or hack a specific block, it will be healed by the information that's stored on the other blocks.
Just to clarify for our listeners, this technology came about because of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and some of these companies that people have read about, correct? I mean, that's where it's come from.
That is correct. And essentially, the reason why this has been done is they wanted to create a way for people to transact. And the only way at the time that they knew how that they could bring it to marketplace was with a currency, which has been kind of recently misused as a speculative investment, more so than a currency. But the premise of these currencies is founded on a very powerful technology, which can be applied to any sort of trade or supply chain around the world.
You said this is a major disruptor, which means we're all going to have to stop the way we're doing things and do things differently in the future. Well, when is this thing going to hit Main Street?
It's kind of difficult to predict. We have seen a large company such as Overstock.com and Goldman Sachs starting to invest in the production of their own blockchain. And as more and more companies start to try and adopt this technology, we'll start to see it emerge. And really, as consumers, the best thing that could happen for us is that this technology is not this overnight disruptor. It just kind of eases into the marketplace to make our lives better. And it's something that we will want to use instead of being the speculation that people talk about on TV shows and radio at night that it is seen, you know, as laughable. And it'd be very much similar to the, you know, the way that the internet came about as kind of a far-fetched concept. But now nobody knows what they could do without it. And that's kind of the way we see blockchain headed.
Now, Andrew, you obviously with Brady Ware, an accounting firm, I know folks are listening to this and saying, okay, Andrew, tell us how you come in. How do you help us with this technology?
Well, we can help with this technology in a number of ways. And a couple of those is going to be compliance with banks, lending organizations, your board of directors, as well as state, local, federal, and taxing authorities abroad. As your trusted advisor, we want to have the opportunity to be able to make sure that as you implement this technology, that you're still in compliance with everything. That we don't want, you know, people to be able to kind of just dive in and be in over their heads. And you don't want to trust new technology blindly. You need to have an ability to test it and see that it's working and still be in compliance with applicable laws.
Sounds like an accountant that's ahead of the game, Jeff, to me. So for those, Andrew, that want to get more information, be in touch with you on blockchain or any of the other services that Brady Ware offers, how do they do that?
We have a great website that's bradyware.com, and that is W-A-R-E. We're often confused with a uniform provider. and our phone number is 678-350-9500.
Outstanding. Andrew Walker from Brady Ware and Company, thanks for being with us. Well, Jeff, we made it. We've had three great guests, and I appreciate you being with us today.
I was just getting warmed up, but safe to say, I think Mike's job is safe.
Before we wrap up, though, I want to give you an endorsement because you put out a great newsletter every Friday. So for those that are interested in Atlanta real estate, the big trends that are going on, tell them about some of the topics that you've covered.
Well, it's in a city like Atlanta that we live in, a booming city, there's always something new going on. And interesting news is all about the new. Transportation is a big issue right now, especially here in Alpharetta and North Fulton as they're putting together the new transit study. And that's something that folks should pay attention to as we try to decide how much mass transit do we want in North Fulton. Everybody's got a different opinion. It is a hot button issue.
Oh, imagine that. I can't believe that that's a hot issue, right?
Well, traffic is always one of the biggest issues, and how to solve it is almost a bigger issue when you talk to one politician to the next and who their voter bases are. But it'll be very interesting to see what happens. People talk about rail coming up, Georgia 400. I think there's consensus right now for it to go up at least to Holcomb Bridge Road. I don't think we'll see it come up to Windward Parkway. And then you could see some real buses, bus rapid transit and things like that running east and west along Windward Parkway and Old Milton Parkway. You could really see something very interesting, which we need to do because we know all of our big corporations right now are very, very interested in being near mass transit these days.
So for those that are interested in your newsletter, how do they be in touch? And how do they subscribe?
Send me an email at gsmith@lendtheway.com. It's like lead the way, except we lend money. So it's lendtheway.com.
Love it. Jeff, thanks. I want to remind everyone that we are on Twitter, Facebook, all the different social media channels, NorthFultonBRX.com. We're here every Tuesday at 11:30. And if you miss the live broadcast, you can find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. So get on there, give us a 5-star rating. If you decide not to give us a 5-star rating, please don't get on there, right?
So, yes, right.
we appreciate everyone that's supports us, including Trey, our producer, who we couldn't do this show without you, Trey. So thank you again, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time on North Fulton Business Radio.